B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
Equal.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ground ball to short. Brock Holt will dig it out on the way to first, and the Red Sox have won it. They snap the four-game losing skid here tonight, 6-3.
Maserati, because you didn't stay up last night, the Red Sox won.
Woo-hoo-hoo! How do you feel about it, Maz?
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, it's about time! Yeah! W!
Might be too much of a dink if I say that was a little bit of a fake win?
A little bit.
It's a little bit of a fake win.
A little bit, but I'm giving it to him.
You are?
Yeah, you and Murray won't, but I will.
I don't know. I'd like
I feel like I've been going against the grain all week. Why stop?
I'd like to apply for fake win status. I'm not saying it is a categorical fake win, but I don't know. Did you see in the sixth inning, the second baseman chucked the ball into left field?
It's a nice looking play, wasn't it?
Easy double play ball, right?
No, he bit the top off it and chucked it like a pineapple.
And then the guy grabbed his wrist afterwards like, oh, my wrist, it's broken.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You
he gave
fraud.
Me the Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
No, totally. Like, what a tool.
If you didn't stay up for it, I don't blame you. Sixth inning, they're down 3-1. Runner on first, one out. Devers, can of corn, 4-6-3 double play. Second baseman chucks it into left field. And then after he chucks it to left field, grabs his wrist like, oh, my wrist.
It's broken.
That was so pathetic.
It was. There's nothing worse than that, right? When a guy makes a bad play and all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's like Revis grabbing his hammy after Randy Moss toasted him in New York with the Jets.
Then let's see. The A's go ahead in the eighth inning. On an infield grounder, they go to replay. They reverse it.
Well, but that was the right call.
It's the right call. It's the right call. Close play. So that's not fake. It's just sort of on my list. And then bases loaded, two outs for the Red Sox in the top of the ninth. And Betts chops one off the top of the bag. Third base bag into the outfield. Two-run score. And there you go. That's how you win the game. That doesn't creep up on fake status?
No. Nope. All of those things are part of the game. There's errors that are made. You know, we have replay. That was the right call that they reversed.
Were they the better team last night?
I would put that game as being pretty even. The Red Sox walked the mile. Right now, they're not the better team than anybody. But I'll give them this. They hung in. See, I wouldn't call the Betts ball chopped one down the line. Like, just me. I know you're dressing it up for
a think he drove it?
No, I think it was a fairly hard hit ball
you
down
do.
The line.
Yeah. No, that was a chopper.
No, it wasn't a chopper.
It was a chopper.
No, it was a...
It was a chopper.
It was low to the ground.
Can we call it up?
Sure, yeah.
I can
look that up for you. I disagree with the word chopper. The word chopper is incorrect.
So you're, that chopper. Disappoints me, Maz.
I know, no. I'm getting soft in
yeah,
my
you've
old
mellowed
age.
This week. That's
well,
too bad.
No, I've mellowed today.
Because on Wednesday, that would have been a fake win.
Yeah, like, totally. Like, everything they've had till now, only one other one, has been a fake win. But I look at it and say, frankly, I don't want them to suck too bad. I need a team to talk about this year. I can't have them going 1-6.
I have to bring this up because this is only for the TV audience. Are you sitting in a bucket? Why are you so low?
I had a stupid chair. I got the wrong chair. My real chair is over there. I think Maz actually swiped my real chair.
No. I have the right chair.
I'm sitting in the wrong chair, and the crossovers are so tight that I'm just not going to get up and get the other chair until the end of the segment.
But I think that chair's over there.
This is like you're cueing the hot takes with Bob Soucy intro. I do. I feel whittle. But whatever. And I keep trying to pump this effing thing up and it won't go up. So never mind. Whatever. Just do the segment. Then we'll switch on this. What else do you have on the Red Sox?
Okay. So look, again, I thought last night was
important. Oh, and by the way, people, we're starting Red Sox Celtics. Red Sox Celtics. Phone lines are open, 617-779-0985. What else on last night?
So this is one of the few times all year where I felt like they were reasonably competitive on both sides. Like, it felt like one of the first real games, and I did not stay up for the whole thing, but I sort of faded in and out of part of it, and I was certainly in for the beginning of the game. But it felt like one of the only games all year to me that they were competitive on both sides. You know, it was a 3-3 game going into the final three innings. So I go, okay,
and they got to 3-3 because the second baseman chucked it into left field.
Okay, but again, 3-3 going into the last three innings. There are a lot of games in Major League Baseball that can get decided in the last three innings. And I felt like finally we saw a baseball game where there were some decisions and plays made. And so they finally won a freaking game. Finally! That's something that they didn't luck into by a pinch hit three-run home run.
So you're biased because you were rooting for him. Fine. Go ahead. At least you've stated your bias.
No, I am. I'm definitely biased because I was. I don't want them to suck too bad.
Just bad enough?
Too bad.
Keep going.
But the other thing is, and this is a pet peeve of mine, I totally admit that this is a pet peeve of mine. Is anybody bitching about the way Blake Swihart handled the pitching staff last night? I don't know. I didn't hear anybody. Hello? Hello? Dana Levangie, yep. Alex Cora? Anybody bitching about Blake Swihart today? Hello? Hello?
Well, how'd you feel about Evaldi?
I thought Evaldi was...
Was he particularly crisp?
No. Mediocre. But again, this is an Evaldi problem. That's not a Swihart problem. Evaldi sucked the first time out. And that's another story, by the way. If you want to get into it now, I'm happy to.
Well, yeah.
How are you feeling about that contract now?
Okay, well, that's not where I would go with that. But, I mean, I'm with you. I think from day one, it's sort of, did you buy off of that surge that he had in the second half? I mean, really, the playoffs, because in the second half, he wasn't a lockdown, you know, consistent performer until he got to the postseason. Then he was a hero. He was the man. So are you just paying off that playoff performance and, you know, what you think is the potential of his arm? That's what that contract is. But what I think of is, did he get the memo that they're supposed to be playing soft toss? Because he's chucking it up there. He's 97. He can't control the thing. It's all over the place. But what happened to this preserving bullets and coming out with an extra turn and a soft opening and everything? Because he was throwing hard.
Yeah, because that's the only way he can pitch. If he's not throwing hard, he gets hammered. Sometimes even when he does throw hard, he gets hammered. So I'm just saying, and again, this is my personal grudge, and forgive me for doing this in the first segment. But nonetheless, I took a beating for suggesting that that contract was a gross overpayment for a pitcher with that caliber.
I just think you're tooting your horn a little early there, bud.
I'm just telling you that the guy's a mediocre pitcher. That's all. He's a mediocre pitcher.
Okay, I don't know if last night proves it, though.
And the Swihart thing really pisses me off more than anything.
But Swihart did chuck the ball into center field.
He did. He also had three hits and a homer and was in the middle of both key rallies. Or let me rephrase. He started the scoring with a home run, and then he started the key rally.
He produced offensively.
Okay, three hits last night. You know how many games the Red Sox had last year where their catcher had three hits?
Ooh, good. Tell me, how many?
Two. Two all year long. One by Leon, one by Vasquez. In other words, already Swihart has matched the three-hit output of both of those guys, and we're 1 week in. 1 freaking week into the season. So all I'm saying is I'd like to find out on the guy. He's going to be a work in progress behind the plate. There's no two ways about it. He did. He threw the ball in the center field. It was the play that Holt ended the inning on with that replay play.
Yeah.
Okay, so he almost cost him the game. Okay, almost. And Holt bailed him out. He ended up being a big reason they won the game. And so I'm just this idea that Sandy Leon somehow turned into Johnny Bench and they can't exist without Sandy Leon, to me, is asinine. It is completely, utterly asinine.
Okay, Red Sox on the board. Your thoughts on last night, where they stand going into the game four to this afternoon in Oakland, 617-779-0985. You coming around at all? Even just a little tiny bit on the Celtics? Road win last night? You know, second of, you want to say back-to-back-ish, you know, not consecutive nights, but Miami had a lot to play for. You're on the road, and they pulled that one out. Any movement whatsoever, fellas?
Murray, you want to go first?
No.
Any movement whatsoever? Any little movement?
No. You're going to take the cheese now because they beat the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, by the way, one of seven teams that have a losing record at home in the NBA this year. And they're a, and I'm using air quotes here, playoff team. Oh, wow. What an impressive win last night. Wow. Oh, yeah. All aboard the C's train. Right, guys? The hell out of here. They're the same team. Don't take the cheese. Don't get suckered by these two wins. And the Gordon Hayward, the real Hayward's back. Is he? Let's see tomorrow night when they actually do have a real opponent in the Indiana Pacers in their barn. Who, by the way, also won last night. So it's a good thing that they did win. That was important. I'll give them that. But no, I'm not. There's no movement. It didn't grow. I still feel as pessimistic as I have for the last month and a half about the Celtics.
Okay. Zero movement on Gordon Hayward? And I'm not talking about your pants. I'm just talking about, are you starting to open up to the possibility that they could go on a run and Gordon could be a factor. Gordon, a little bit of movement?
Yeah, for me, there was a shred.
There has to be.
A shred. I thought, I liked what I saw in that game last night. And again, I said this in the email exchange this morning. I would equate it loosely, very loosely. I would equate it a little bit to the Bruins going into Columbus and winning that game. On the road, you wanted to see something, right? And against a team that's desperate for a playoff spot, Miami's in a similar boat. And, you know, the Celtics have been erratic. They just beat them the other night. The game that really matters is tomorrow. I thought they were going to fall asleep last night. And they really played from end to end a pretty decent game for the most part.
They did.
And, you know, at the end of the game, the execution I thought was good and Hayward was key. They had Hayward in some matchup advantages late in the game. One in particular where Olynyk was on him. They got him the ball out top. One-on-one, he went to the basket. He got fouled. He made the free throws. I mean, to me, that's how the Celtics play or should play. So I was happy to see that.
How about the amount of possessions in the fourth quarter where Kyrie was on the floor and Gordon and was going through Gordon Hayward?
Yes, I like that too.
Didn't that feel, wasn't that noticeable?
Oh, yes. Wow. Kyrie was in a good mood. So, of course, as his mood goes, the team goes. So, okay, he was in a good mood last night. Cool. Cool. Let's see if that lasts.
It did feel like a team last night, but Murray's right.
No, you're totally fair. Completely fair. You know, what time of the month is it for Kyrie? I'm with you. I'm with you on that, Murray. But if it's the right time of the month, I don't know. What are they capable of? I think you'd be silly to totally shut the door on the team. You know, and I'm not telling you that.
You suckers. You guys are easy.
I'm just telling you the door's ajar. And last night showed me more than those two home wins.
I am easy.
And the Hayward thing is real. The Hayward, no, I mean, here, let me amend. If he's like that, then they're for real.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. But if they can all play like that, I mean, was that the first night that he, Horford, and Irving all went for 20?
This season, yes.
Yeah, this season. So, okay. Well, it couldn't have been last season, was it?
No, right. So, first night.
Yeah, I think this was the first time they were all 20-plus points. And it felt that way. You know, it felt like an actual balanced team with all those things. Can they sustain it? Can Kyrie sustain his moods? Can Hayward sustain that level? All fair, and maybe the odds are against that. But if they do, I think it'd be silly. I mean,
yeah, I think it's a big if. But, you know, Kyrie got to take Daddy's credit card and go to Saks and splurge, and he was in a good mood yesterday.
he went with Gasper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you see these Dolce & Gabbana belts?
Yeah, they bought some belts.
Girl.
They bought some accessories.
Yeah, so he was all in a great mood last night, and as he goes, the team goes. So that's why. You saw that last night. Yep, we'll see.
We'll know for sure if Gasper's here, if he comes in with a man purse tomorrow.
Celtics, Red Sox, your thoughts right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox trying to grab the lead here in the ninth inning. Ground ball to third. It's off the bag. It's a fair ball. It caroms into left. Two run score. Swihart and Bradley. Betts into second base. You know, with Chapman, he's a vacuum cleaner over there. And if it doesn't strike the bag, who knows?
I mean, of all guys to hit it, to have hit the bag, any help you can get to knock the ball past Chapman, and the Red Sox get a break right here, big time.
Go back and look at it, Maz?
No, I haven't gone back and looked at it yet. No, I'm telling you, I don't think it was a chopper.
They got a break.
You know, looking at that picture, though, the ball is pretty high up in the air.
Not a hard hit. That was a Bjorn Borg topspin. Topspin looper right down the line. Lucky. Almost a fake win. Not quite. I was going to deny the fake win status myself, but I at least wanted to entertain it.
Oh, it's close. I mean, it's close. I mean, there are two wins this year. Talk about living on the edge. They're 2-5. They could be 0-7 easily. Easily. But, again, for the first time last night, I thought they were reasonably competitive on both sides.
Your thoughts, Red Sox and Celtics as well. Joe in Lincoln, lead us off on the Sox, please.
Yes, I this is an argument I had with Maz last year, too, and I want to revisit this whole offense-defense thing. If you score more runs than the other team, you win. But another way of saying that is if the other team scores less runs than you, you win.
Correct.
And pitchers' ERA are based on, you know, how few runs they score.
Correct.
So, of course, you know, the catcher and defense have something to do with that. It's hard for us to quantify that. I mean, at least most fans can. Maybe some sabermetrician can. But it irritates me when you make these blanket statements. So Swihart gets three hits. That means nothing to me if he costs three runs.
So listen, Joe, I would say this. I'm with you. If you chase offense at catcher, that's kind of dumb. You've just got to accept it. There's a handful of guys who can hit at that position, and that's that. So
sure.
Don't – you're like, you know – you put them down in your lineup, and so don't chase offense at that position. I agree. Do you have to have two guys who are like that?
No.
Like, I mean, what's wrong with having your second guy to be a switch-hitting offensive kind of option? That's a nice option to have as your second catcher.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong, particularly when he's 26 years old, a first-round pick that the team screwed up his development on. Like this, so this is my point with Swihart. I'm not telling you, I like defense behind the plate. Let me make that clear to Joe and Lincoln. Okay, and he calls the baseball reporters too. So I want defense behind the plate. Swihart's a second catcher. Your first guy can play D. You still have the other guy in the minor leagues, as it turned out. And the likelihood of him being claimed was low because of the contract and because of his skill set, which means he doesn't hit.
There's a lot of guys like him.
Absolutely. There are a million guys like Sandy Leon. And I like Leon, too, as a catcher. I do. My only argument from the beginning is, can we find out on Swihart? Can we just watch it for a little while? Let him play two times a week, maybe even three times a week. Get in as an occasional pinch hitter instead of like one at bat in 2 months like he had last year, whatever the hell it was. Can we just watch and see? Because he was better defensively in the second half of last year.
John and Ashline, what's your Celtics take?
Hey guys, love the show. I just want to say that you guys were talking about it earlier. Gordon Hayward is the X factor. I saw a stat yesterday. It goes, Celtics are 11-1 with Hayward when he scores more than 14 points, and they're 20-3 with him at like a total record. So with Gordon Hayward balling out, Celtics are unbeatable.
Okay, unbeatable, John. I would gonna encourage you to put it back in your pants.
I can't believe this.
Zip up, unbeatable. That's silly. But what's wrong with saying that Hayward's a huge factor?
Yeah,
right?
he if he plays the way that he's looked as of late, yeah, they could be. But just like that, huh? The whole big sample size of the season, you're just going to say, now all the stuff behind the scenes doesn't matter now. We saw what Patriots did in the postseason, too. They flipped the switch. You think the Celtics team's going to do it? You're taking the cheese because they just beat the Heat in back-to-back games. You going to do that? Good. All right. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves because I know what they really are.
Jimmy, any movement back there?
God, no.
See, Jimmy knows.
Kyrie's still going to the Knicks. Kyrie still doesn't care. Gordon Hayward, great, love him. If he's healthy, he's your best all-around player offensively and defensively. But no, they're not.
Okay, the Kyrie going to the Knicks thing we'll get to. Because that's still, now that
I still want them out in the first round.
Okay, well, what we want is different and what they deserve is different. Like they
Okay, they deserve to be out in the first round.
They're kind of a hateable team and deserve, I'm with you. They don't deserve to do anything. Because if you carry yourself like that for 90% of the season, I think it's pretty lame. What does it say about your league that you're able to carry on like that, but then just like, so that really shows you the last 4 months are completely, utterly. So we'll just stop carrying the games and talking about them, you know? So I'm with you. Like on that point, I'm just telling you, objectively speaking, last night meant more than those previous two at the Garden. And if Hayward is playing like that, you've got to take them seriously.
Miami. Ha.
I mean, I just, again, I thought that they were going to mail it in last night. And that's, it's still on the road against a half-decent team, which in that league.
And by the way, they didn't need it at all.
Because, no, right.
Because they could go a game behind Indiana, but if they beat Indiana on Friday.
They win the tiebreaker.
They're back to square and they have the tiebreaker. So they didn't need the, they could, honestly, the game in some respects was kind of meaningless. Unless they drop one of the last two, you know, but if things go according to Hoyle, it really didn't matter if they won last night.
No, and they came out of the gate and scored the first nine. They played well down the stretch. They were focusing on mismatches and getting the ball to the right guy. And I know Kyrie came out in the final 2.5 minutes, I think it was, when they got up 10. Okay, so at that point, Steven says, we're up 10, 2.5, I'm going to value defense. Which, again, I like. Fine, Kyrie should come off the floor in those cases. Rozier's a better defender. And I'm not telling you Rozier's a world beater, but I like that too. I do, however, like the lineup that they had on the floor there, excuse me, for that period of time. Irving, Smart, Horford, Tatum, Hayward. I mean, basically, minus Jaylen Brown for Smart. Right. Isn't that the lineup we talked about to start the year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the group they should have, and I want Smart on the floor at the end of the game for the defense. I want him out there. And then, you know what, depending on what the matchup is, you want to take Tatum out and put Brown in there, I'm okay with that, too. But the other three guys should be out there.
Billy in Rhode Island on the Red Sox catching situation. Yes, Billy.
How you doing? I like Leon, and I'm going to tell you why. I watched every game last year, and this guy, Leon, really knows how to call a game. He really does. And that's his strength. I know they picked up these other guys, whether it was money or whatever, but Leon, he's a top-notch caller of a game as far as I'm concerned. Secondly, I just want to mention one thing about the Celtics. They are the biggest crybabies about basketball.
It's brutal, isn't it?
Every time they get a layup, they got hit. Every time they
do something,
they look for the refs.
It's gotten so bad. I'm just going to cut you off. It's gotten so bad.
Oh, Jason Tatum is public enemy number one. When
deplorable.
It comes to this
deplorable.
Did you like that last night? No, it's been since he's coming to the league.
Oh, my God.
Enough, dude. Like, enough. You're not a superstar. You're not going to get the calls that you think you deserve because you've been on the cover of a few magazines leading into the season this year.
Is there ever a trip down the floor where he doesn't?
No.
Turn to the ref on the way back down?
I mean, nope.
Every single time.
Someone needs to air him out. Seriously, some veteran guy needs to say, can you stop bitching to the refs and come back and play some deep?
That's what Kyrie Irving, the leader, should be doing.
Leon on calling a game.
He's good.
Is it really that big of a skill?
No. Yeah, I mean,
do you know what I think a skill is? I think this guy's good at framing pitches.
Receiving the ball. It's an underrated talent.
Okay, so if you tell me Sandy Leon's a good receiver, I think I can separate guys on how they receive the ball. Calling? I have a hard time with that.
See, I don't. I just think some guys know the hitters, and they pay attention. And I will tell you that, for example, hitters over the course of a game will move. They'll move. They'll move an inch up, an inch back, closer to the plate, away from the plate. And a good catcher will notice that stuff. And he'll say, well, we beat this guy in the curveball last time, so he's moving up in the box. So now we're going to come hard in. Right? Like,
yeah.
And so I think.
What I'm saying is that's hard for me to decipher.
Of course it is. Yeah. And it's honestly, it's a hard thing to see from a TV. You know, more often than not, you can, you know, I try to pay attention to how a game is called.
Is Sandy Leon good at that thing?
Yes. I don't know if he's Veritek, but he's good. He's got a knack for it. Their rhythm on the mound when he's out there is good. And when I say rhythm, I'm talking about pitch selection and location. You know, I think overall is good. And with Swihart, to your point, the receiving of the ball?
Yeah, no, not good.
Oh, no, he still jerks the glove around.
Definitely.
I mean, he totally does. But, again, at the end of last year, I thought he was improving. So I would like to find out. Can we find out? Like, why is this a no on Swihart? I want to find out.
Ed in Plymouth on Kyrie sitting out the last couple minutes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Maz, you kind of just touched on it, but I'm pretty sure it's actually a little over 3 minutes left, and they were up by 9. And initially I thought it was just a possession-type thing for defense, and then the Heat came down and hit a 3. I was just kind of surprised Stevens didn't go back to Kyrie. And I was curious if there was any post-game audio, kind of how Kyrie received that.
He was...
At the end of the game, hitting the bench.
We'll play some Kyrie coming up next. He was happy. It's good mood. Good time of the month for Kyrie. He actually spoke of his improving relationship with the coach. Almost, if you just took out the names and knew who was talking, it almost sounded like the coach was talking about the player. But that's Kyrie. We'll get to that right after Murray's update.
Yeah, the coach worked.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Rebound Horford. Shot clock is off, and all the Celtics have to do is bring it into the front court and bleed the clock dry. Celtics struggled with Miami for most of the night, but thanks to Gordon Hayward running the anchor leg with the baton, they're going to win this basketball game. 5 seconds to go. Smart holding the basketball, having a conversation with Dwayne Wade. We hit triple zeros and the Celtics win.
John Walk with the call last night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're home for the Celtics. Any movement? Any little bit of movement? Man, I don't mean like you're going to have a sexual reaction to win over the Heat. I'm talking about if you thought they had no chance, do you come off of that a little bit? Is there a little movement towards maybe if they can put it together and dot, dot, dot? Is there any movement? I've had it. I've had some movement. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't. If Gordon Hayward's going to play like that.
Yeah, you became a green teamer last
year. I'm not a green teamer.
Brad Bott.
Yep.
I'm just telling you what they're capable of.
You also believe that Kyrie was staying when he said it to the season ticket holders.
I think everyone sucks.
I thought I had a little movement, but I think it was a gas bubble.
I think they're all beatable, except for Toronto. But if they're going to play like that and Hayward's going to be a real factor, you will beat Indiana in the first round. Whether you're home or not, frankly, you will. You will. Indiana blows without Oladipo. They're not good. You'll beat them. If you're engaged and care and playing together and Hayward looks like that, you'll beat them. And then Milwaukee, I think Milwaukee's flawed. I think Milwaukee's ripe to be had. I think they'll have the best player, but I told you a million times, you'll see it. If it's a close game, they can't go to him. That's not a last shot kind of guy, closer kind of guy. And then you're relying on Middleton or Brogdon if he's even healthy or any of some of these guys, and you're better than that. I think Milwaukee's ripe. And then Toronto, you know, I don't know. It's if you get there, let's see. I'll reset. But I think the path is totally there. And if you get your mojo going by then and everyone's happy by then and Kyrie's feeling good by then, if it all depends on that, there's a path. That's all I'm saying to you. And so, yes, Kyrie was sat out the last couple of minutes in that game last night.
250.
How'd he feel about it? Caller asked. Did he get bitchy Kyrie? No, he's happy Kyrie. In fact, basically, I felt like he was patting Brad on the head when he was talking about it. He said his relationship with Stevens has never been better.
I mean, our relationship has just grown, you know, tremendously, just in terms of our communication of what he likes and what I like, but ultimately what's best for our team and how to get the most out of guys. So, you know, it's made my job a lot easier, you know, going to the sideline, knowing that, you know, we're on the same page. And, you know, that makes it easier to go out there and just play free, you know, and really do my job of, you know, leading this team.
He's so insulting.
He's
such an insufferable tool bag.
Co-coaches.
He's such an insufferable tool.
Co-coach Kyrie Irving.
Oh, my God. Like, it's like, you know, because he's finally getting it, I'm freed up, and I don't have to keep coaching these guys. I don't have to. He immediately turns it on himself, and now it's easier on me because I don't have to bear the burden of dealing with these clueless kids. Now Brad finally understands. Oh, he's so but the point, he's not upset with Brad. He's good with Brad today. He's good with Brad today. But just the manner in which he talks, you've got to be kidding me.
So you know who deserves credit for this?
Stevens. Dealing with that baby.
Absolutely. Because if there has been, a movement towards an agreement, you know, and being on the same page, or synergy, if that's what you want to call it, it means that Stevens is learning how to tolerate a star player in that league. And that Stevens is looking at him going, okay, I'm going to have to indulge this guy. Let him talk. And then plant ideas in his head that he thinks are his.
Don't you know guys like that?
Yes. I mean, that's the way they have to do it, right? Yes. Because he's got to say to him, hey, look, if we get up 10, here's what I want to do. How do you feel about that? You know, because I think we can use Rozier on the defensive end, take some of the heat off of you, and make it sound like it's a good thing for Kyrie. And Kyrie goes, oh, yeah, man, I like that. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I thought of it.
Yeah, so Kyrie gets to sign off. It makes him feel like he's got the power.
His idea.
And Stevens does what is better for the team.
Oh, my God. We'll play this cut coming up, but I'll just read it to you because I can put my stylings on it. He did the same thing Kyrie did when asked about Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward. So it starts out okay. Kyrie says of Gordon Hayward, he's just trying things now and doing things with more confidence and getting into the lane and getting fouled. He's really understanding his size again, where he's 6'9", able to post guys up, able to come off screen and rolls and make great decisions. Right, so far, so good. That's what's happened with Gordon Hayward. But then Kyrie can't help himself. We're best when he's looking for a shot. He's a great facilitator, but we need G to score. I told him that, and I'm going to keep telling him to stay aggressive and keep him really to be that 20-point scorer that he was. So it's like, again.
Thanks, coach.
Exactly. I've been telling him the whole time. I'm going to keep telling him because this is my burden. Kyrie Irving is LeBron.
He really is.
He is LeBron.
Well, he's got star playeritis, right?
Yeah, and even if he's trying to come from a positive place and trying to encourage him, the way it makes it sound, he makes it sound is just so condescending.
Oh, so bad.
So he's better off not saying anything.
But he's playing well. They're playing as a team. They did on the road what they were doing at home. So on the floor, you know, I don't have any complaints there.
Yeah, it's not a dysfunctional family.
On the floor.
Right now.
The Kyrie thing off the floor, I've said it from day one. You know, when they were going good, going bad. I haven't, like, jumped on Kyrie the second half of this year. The second I, you know, caught wind of this guy, I said, oh, my goodness. This guy's insufferable.
I'll tell you, it's nights like last night, though, where you start to say, okay, so this is what they saw in Hayward, right? Like, this is, and, you know, when you look at the line of his game, 10 field goal attempts, he scored 25 points.
Kyrie only had 10 shots.
No, I'm talking about Hayward now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
10 field goal attempts, he scored 25 points. He went to the line last night 13 times. And on top of it, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 0 turnovers. Zip.
Well, he likes going against the zone. That reminds him of Butler. I mean, it's right. I mean, didn't they go all zone last night?
Yeah, that's true.
Figured it out from the time before, but either way.
Well, that's one of the other reasons I can't take it so seriously, because Miami's stupid. Been playing zone defense all last night. Goran Dragic was terrible.
All I'm saying is I wouldn't rule him totally out.
He's got a little more burst than he had early in the year, though, because he comes off the dribble now. He can get in there and get by guys. He wasn't doing that early in the year.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This
blows my mind. 2 wins over the lowly Miami Heat, who, again, I can't stress this enough. Look at the other teams that have losing records at home this year. They're there with the Knicks, the Suns, the Atlanta Hawks. But, oh, no, they're in the playoff contention. The Heat stink. 2 wins against the Heat, and you're all taking the cheese.
No, but, Murray, you're missing the point. Early in the year, they were losing to the Knicks. Losing to Phoenix.
Oh, no, I remember that, too.
They've
had flashes before, and you dummies take the cheese.
Wayne, I'm not taking the cheese yet.
Wayne in Yarmouth, you taking the cheese?
No, but I did see it as a basic, small baby step forward. Only because of what you guys have hit on and other callers. There was no helter-skelter in those last 3 minutes. There was solid defense, and they worked the damn clock down in that last minute, taking fouls, making free throws, and guess what? No Kyrie in it through that whole process. So Stevens is on to his game. Rest him at the end of a game. My gosh.
So, I mean, when you're up, why would you have him out there?
Or
just shoot free throws. Other than that.
Right. No, you sub him in and out. You just play him on offense, take him out on defense. Absolutely. But you know what? If Kyrie's amenable to that or recognizes that he's not a great defensive player because he's 6'3", wink, wink, then fine, that's good. Like, again, selling them on, it's half the battle.
We open with your Red Sox thoughts, your Celtics thoughts, the insufferable Kyrie Irving as well, to you right after this in our long commercial free segment.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's been a trying season for all of us, but, you know, him individually, I think that coming back from an injury like he did is, you know, it's well documented. And I think that he's just trying things now and doing it with more confidence and getting into the lane, getting fouled, and really understanding, you know, his size again, where he's 6'9", able to post guys up, able to come off screen and rolls, make great decisions. And we're best when he's looking for his shot. We need G to score. And I told him that, and I'm going to keep telling him to stay aggressive, you know, be him and really be that, you know, 20-point scorer that he was. And takes a lot of pressure off of me, where I don't have to handle the ball as much, and I could be, you know, kind of floating around the perimeter and cutting back door and just doing the little things that I can do to affect the game other than just having the ball in my hands and trying to score.
Coach Hayward, Coach Kyrie Irving there. Thanks, Coach.
Co-coach.
Asked about Gordon Hayward, turns it into himself. Asked about Brad Stevens, turns it into himself. LeBron, little Penny, as I dubbed him. So if you can just handle that, and it's easy, that's easy. Don't listen to him. Just don't, neener. Just don't listen to him. And just watch it. You should be fine, even though on the floor it hasn't been fine. But it's not too late. It's not too late, Murray. Do you acknowledge that? Or do you think it's too late?
Yeah, it's too late.
I don't think it's too late.
No, I'm dug in on this. No, I'm not getting turned around by a couple of... Wow, I almost just swore.
No, good.
I'm just not getting turned around by a couple of wins against the Miami Heat and how they've kind of looked better lately, especially Gordon Hayward in recent weeks. No, because the bigger sample size of the whole season, it won't take much to push this team the other way because of the bitch who's, you know, thinks he's also the head coach of this team and Kyrie Irving. And I like how he plays, but everything else off the court, how he carries himself, enough. It's not going to change. It won't take much. One bad loss, which could even be tomorrow night for them to lose the fourth seed, which is still in play here. And it is important for them to get the fourth seed. If they lose tomorrow night, it can easily go the other way, and they lose in that first round.
So Murray's right about that. I'm not all the way there yet either. I will say, because I said from the beginning, I'd like to see them win them both, Miami and Indiana. And if they revert tomorrow night, well, that's a huge step in the wrong direction. And then we're right back where we started. So they've shown little glimpses of like this during the year. The game at Golden State, they played a great game. And not that that's apples to apples, because in a lot of ways that game was more impressive. They have it in them. They have it in them. The question is whether they can get out of their own way and stop pointing fingers, starting with you-know-who.
Okay, how about Gordon Hayward and his wife, Murray? What did you just tell me in the break?
Well, this has just been brought to my attention. Apparently, Robin Hayward.
Robin Hayward.
Yep, Mrs. Gordon Hayward had something to say after last night's win in her Instagram story. In which she wrote, "Good things happen when my baby gets the ball and minutes.
Ooh.
... Just like the good old day." Heart emoji. And then she posted his stat line. Who didn't play in that game last night? Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown. Maybe a not-so-subtle shot at a certain someone who used to coach her husband at Butler? That's the way it reads to me. I find that kind of interesting. When my baby gets the ball and minutes, just like the good old day. Heart emoji.
Good old day? Singular?
She forgot the S.
Okay. So that, I love it when the wives get involved.
Oh my gosh, what are you doing?
Then it's on. When the wives get in.
Yeah.
Let's go. What does Mrs. Stevens have to say? Can we go to Mrs. Irving for a reply? Mrs. Brown? Like, let's bring the wives in. That's when it gets good.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, we can just sit back and drink beer and watch them go at it.
Oh, that's good. Super G's on Twitter, isn't she? And we get them all
She's
in.
All over, yeah.
I want them all from all sports.
Gordon Hayward's wife tweets out last night, see what happens when he gets the ball in the minutes? That's great. That's tremendous. Okay, so.
Get the vibe she doesn't like it here much.
Add that to the list.
Last night, I'm with her. He was
like she wanted warm weather in Miami or something.
Okay, so there you go. Celtic stuff, Red Sox stuff. Paul in New Hampshire on the Sox. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, how you doing? I'll touch quick on the Celtics. Someone needs to tell Kyrie that there's no I in team.
Good luck. It's a little late, Paul.
I know. I don't think it's going to happen either, and I don't think he's going to be here long, but that's just my opinion. A lot of fans aren't happy with him, and like you said, I think he should keep his mouth shut and not be the coach. But basically on the Red Sox, I feel this is like spring training. I don't know if it's because the season started early this year, but them switching the pitches and catches around, I mean, there's a reason why these guys go 2-3 weeks earlier in spring training so they can all get on the same page with the catches and the pitches. And so everybody knows what's going on, and
Paul,
then they get rid of Sandy Leone, who basically is the closest thing to Veritek that we have right now.
Okay, a little strong, Maz. You want to follow up on that? You groan every time someone they call Leone?
I just think it's taking it too far. It's taking it too far. It's totally letting the rest of them off the hook. So what, none of them are responsible for their own performance? They're all relying on Sandy Leone? None of them can function without him? They have to have their little binky back there to be able to do anything? I mean, that's insulting to me. Like, you got guys who have pitched in the big leagues for years and for different organizations who have a track record of success. And all of their success all of a sudden depends on Sandy Leone? It's asinine. It's totally asinine. And the other thing is when the caller says, This feels like spring training. You know why?
It is. They've extended spring training. It's a soft opening.
But it's also something else. And that is that in the minds of a lot of fans, they haven't even started yet because they haven't seen the games. They're all 10 o'clock starts on the West Coast. So you haven't dug in yet. You're not invested yet. And I'm not blaming you for it. I'm just trying to give you the reality of it. I'm having a hard time with it, too, because the games are out there. You can't get fully immersed like you normally would. Next week, they'll come home. They'll open up the ballpark. It'll all feel different.
Brent in Shrewsbury on the Celts. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, so honestly, I'm with Robin Hayward. Why isn't Gordon Hayward starting?
Okay, there you go. Hashtag, we got Robin's back. I don't know. So, Maz, you like that group on the floor at the end for sure.
I did. Now, again, Kyrie came out with 3 minutes left when they went up 10, but that five. And again, I want Smart on the floor because I don't think you can, you know, you need the defense is the point. So, Kyrie, Smart, Horford, Tatum, Hayward. I mean, that's pretty much your group. That's the team you wanted, basically, at the start of the year. The one exception is...
Smart for Brown.
Right. That's it. That's it. And I'll tell you, like, depending how the game's going, you have to sub someone in. Maybe Tatum's having a bad night. Brown goes in for Tatum. I'm okay with that. Whatever. But the whole idea from the beginning was that Horford, Hayward, and Irving should be on the floor at the end of the game.
And who knows that... And who knew that Gordon Hayward was bent out of shape about it? Yeah, he carries himself really close to the vest. He's not going to say anything. He hasn't said word one all year.
Good.
So that he's a pro. Yeah, good for him. I have nothing wrong with him. All for that. I could do without the daily Instagram post. Like, neat. You made some free throws from a chair. It obviously means nothing. We now know that means nothing. Like, that's just a little much, but I don't have to deal with that. I think Gordon Hayward's carried himself well, but now we know how he really feels. Because the wife, again, Murray, let's hear it again. The wife chimes in.
Yep, from her Instagram story, good things happen when my baby gets the ball.
Oh, that's so bad.
And minutes.
My baby.
Just like the good old days. Heart emoji.
Oh.
And then she posts the stat line, too. Like, oh, he got 25 points.
Oh, it's great.
He was good last night.
A couple different topics. Guys are waiting. I don't want to keep them waiting. Howard and Randolph on the Kraft court case. Go ahead, Howard.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What do you got?
Just a quick question. They've been reporting in the papers of all the motions that Kraft's lawyers are making to get rid of the tape. Why aren't they using the one about the fact the warrant asked for a monitor record and it just came back monitor? Wouldn't that automatically...
That's not the case out? In Palm Beach, Howard. That was a different county. The one in Palm Beach came back monitor and record. Try again. But they'll find something. And we'll get to Kraft later on with the very latest developments. It's entirely possible he gets off. Entirely possible that they throw the thing out. You have enough money, you throw enough lawyers at it, they'll find something. And they'll beat up those guys down there in Palm Beach till they get their way. That's what my bet is going to happen. But the monitor and record was either Martin County or the county north. It wasn't Palm Beach County. That warrant came back, monitor and record, not just monitor. Scott in Weymouth has a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Scott.
Felger, as usual, 2 points in 22 seconds. Here we go. Let's talk hockey. UMass is playing Denver in the Frozen Four.
I'm going to cut you off.
Thank
Good
you.
Move. In fact, I think he called the midday show, but his phone wasn't working right. I'm inclined to say bye-bye, Scott.
If that were the only college hockey that's allowed is if Boston University's in. No one else need apply. And if you don't like that, go listen to another show. That's just the way it is. Or if Tufts. If Tufts made it.
Thank you.
Okay?
I was just about to say, if you talk BU hockey, I will drop you.
We continue. No commercials. Just an update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.